Welcome to this week's episode of the Ultimate MMA Podcast. Last weekend, we were treated to a fantastic card at the UFC Apex on the night where we saw 7 finishes in 12 fights and 8 knockdowns throughout the night. I mean, what a treat that card was for fight night. I'm your host, Jake Jones, and my co-host this week, he's a fairly recognisable voice. It's our Geordie MMA fighter, Sean Gilley. How you doing, bro?
I'm good, man. How are you? Everything all good?
Everything's all good. First day back today, going into football. My family, where I live, we decided to, everyone, all the workers at the factory here, we decided all to go down to a football pitch and have a five-a-side game. So there's 10 of us, and I am absolutely knackered, but I scored 2 goals and assisted 2. So, I mean, cheer on for me. Having said that, I am bloody awful at football, so I can't make out as if I'm a big athlete or anything like that. I love sport, I just can't play it. But right, let's go straight into our recapping stage. Sean, what did you think of last weekend's card?
There's some crazy fights, like that main event, Michelle Watterson versus Angela Hill. Wow, that was just like, that was one hell of a dogfight. 5 rounds.
And girls can strike. That's what we were saying last week. They're both so clean at their striking. They're both so good at kind of keeping their distance. And obviously, Michelle uses that sidekick so well. Yeah. It's incredible. And as I said, they put on a great show across 5 rounds. As I said, I know Angie felt a bit hard done by, but the fact that it went to a split decision along 5 rounds and just seeing how close the striking figures were, you can understand why like these girls are at the top level.
Yeah.
But I mean, I really liked last weekend's card. I've just gone through some of the figures there, like 7 finishes in 12 fights, 8 knockdowns. Like, that's what we want to see. And I think there was some fantastic fights on display. And the first thing I want to talk about, though, it's nothing about the result itself. I don't care what comes from this. I want to talk about the elephant in the room, Ed Bloody Herman. So, I mean, I'm sure anyone who's watched it last week know what happened, but you've got Ed Herman was fighting Mike Rodriguez. Mike Rodriguez was dominating fight throughout. And then I think it was in the second round, Rodriguez got him in the clinch and kneed him twice.
Yeah.
So Ed Herman drops down. Now, the referee, Chris Tyone, got it so wrong because Chris Tyone thought it was a nut shot. So he split them up. Herman, initially, the way he reacted is as if, oh, yeah, fair enough, I've lost this.
He played on it so well, man.
He did, then, yeah, exactly. And then Tyone was saying, right, go to your corner. So I think Herman thought, oh, okay, yeah, fair enough. They do well, actually, yeah. And then, obviously, so Tyone gave him the full 5 minutes to recover. Herman did recover. Although he was knocked down again, Mike Rodriguez wasn't able to get the finish, and then Herman was able to come back and submit him. I mean, as I said, it was so disappointing to see, because even Herman in the post-fight interview, when he was like, Mike Bisping made it so clear to him, like, oh, well, we kind of watched the replay, that didn't hit you in the balls, and he's going, yeah, I don't know where I got hit, but I mean, it was painful, and you know, the ref stopped it, so yeah, I guess, oh, piss off. Like, have some honesty, have some integrity. You lost the fight. But then a big thing to note as well with that is Mike Rodriguez, mate, you need to get some killer instinct in you. So the thing is, there was a few times where he had Herman so hurt. I think there was twice where he dropped him with the knees. There's another time where he caught him throughout the round, and even Herman kind of backs off and he's wobbling. Mike, you need to go in there then, and you need to finish the fight. You can't just... I said, someone like Herman, who is a bit of a dog as well, and can get a submission finish, someone who's been in there for, what, 40 fights or something? Mate, you can't just... You've got to finish the fight. So I was disappointed with Rodriguez's performance there as well. And another thing to note, Chris Tyone's back at it again. last week, he was the one who called him a die Evan Pereira early.
Oh,
so you can understand why everyone's now calling for Tyone to get basically sacked. And I don't ever want to see a guy lose his job, but when you're making these very, very poor decisions, it's not great. And another big talking point about that is they were saying mid-fight, Brendan Fitzgerald got it wrong, and he said, oh, why can't they just watch the replay? Now, you can't do that because you can only do it for a fight-ending sequence, so I do get that, but maybe that needs to be a rule change then.
Doesn't
a bit
make
like
sense,
football and
it?
VAR now, is that like halfway through, you might be able to say, hold on, check it, and then go, nope, get back into there now. Because as I said, unfortunately, Herman getting that extra 5 minutes... Basically, it comes down to the fact that Herman dropped because he was hit with 2 body shots, 2 knees to the body, and that's what finished him. There's no two ways about it. He was finished. But then Tyone gives him 5 minutes to recover, Of course. Well, I mean, I don't blame Herman. Of course he's going to take it. But the whole point is, he didn't need them 5 minutes to cover because he was finished. He was TKO'd. And then, as I said, he actually got that time to come back. And he's still got time to fight. And he gets the finish. And honestly, I cannot express. Me and the boys were watching it at home. And we said throughout the fight, if Herman comes back and gets the win here, this will be complete bullshit. And I'm not joking. The moment he locked that Kimura in, we all sat in silence. Obviously, Rodriguez taps, and we just went, nah. What else can we do now then? We literally stood up and we're like, oh, I don't know if we're going to watch this now, because that's just stupid. And of course, we went on to watch the rest of the night. But the whole point was just, what on earth? Like, that's... I think Dana's gone to say, like, it's one of the worst... decisions he's seen in the sport yet, and it's so true that you can't do that. You've literally stopped Rodriguez from winning. And let's say what Rodriguez is probably on, what, 32 grand to fight, they're probably 32 grand to win, so you've just taken that money away from him. And as I said, Herman was finished. He gets the win, but that was very disappointing.
It was a knee, it was a knee to the chest.
There was one knee, one knee to the gut. And then the knee to the chest. It was a knee to the chest that Tyone thought it was to the balls. And it's like, mate, that's not a low blow. Come on. But as I said, I think we all sound pretty clear on what happened there. And I think we all know Rodriguez should be winning that. And hopefully he is compensated because of it. Because also, you've got to consider, I know that UFC employ these guys and that they can't always make the right decision. But surely he's due some compensation because he was winning. He won that fight. And that decision changed everything for him. He obviously gets a loss on his record, compensating for that, and equally he actually loses his win bonus. So I hope that he does get treated well. But next up we have the co-main event in the UFC. Otman Azatar versus Karma Worthy. Holy shit, this went down quick.
Right.
I mean, this is pretty much exactly what I said last week, and I wasn't making a call last week because I said it was going to go one of two ways, and it did. I said either Karma's going to kind of wrestle out the fight and get the unanimous decision victory, or manage to submit Azatar kind of by tiring him out. Or, as it went down, Azatar was going to go in there with his raw power, the raw power that we've seen before, and knock him out. And that's what he did. Another thing I just want to note about this fight, though, and I know Worthy kind of at first contested it, and he was done. Like, Worthy went down, he took a few shots. It was a very, very good stoppage, in my opinion. And Worthy even kind of afterwards shook Azatar's hand and was like, yeah, fair enough. However, I do actually think Azatar was a bit rash in the fight. When he was swinging all these punches, he had his guard down. So he needs to ensure that he keeps that safer for the future, because when you're coming up against other guys who might have been able to take them first few punches and then swing one back at you, I said, you are letting your gas tank out there. How many times have we seen a fighter go for the finish where they just blast it and then, unfortunately, they are pretty knackered? I said, if you blast for the finish in the first minute of the fight, obviously it worked this time for him because he got the finish. But in the future, if someone else takes that, if they manage to withstand it, then you are going to be knackered for the fight. And I think that's kind of what we saw with Sakai versus Overeem last week. Sakai had a few moments where he unloaded about 20 punches on Overeem, but Overeem didn't go down. And then, as I said, Sakai unfortunately just kind of lost that gas and was beaten by the better man. But one other talking point, who is next? I can't say that Azatar will get a top 15 guy just yet, but I think he's definitely a few fights away. With a record of, 13-0 now, he's definitely on the radar for people. He's been in the co-main event now. I think we might see him pushing to the top 15 within the next fight or two. What about you? What do you think?
Sam, I totally agree with you. Like, I don't really know who's next for him, to be honest.
Well, who wants the fight? That's the issue.
Exactly.
When you see a guy do something like that... But the thing is, when you see a guy do something like that, of course you think, shit, he's got some power. But equally, you might watch that and go, yep, he's got some flaws in his game and I'm going to catch him out there. I'll take the fight. Give a guy his first loss, boost yourself in the rankings. It can work both ways. Well, let's move on to our main event of the evening, and we've already spoken a bit about this. I want to note something for last week. I made a point that I need to start going for head over heart, and I bloody got it wrong. So I decided that I'd go for Hill, because I thought, thinking with this bloody brain of mine, I was thinking, do you know what?
Oh, I was right.
Hill pushes for the win. Yeah, you were right, mate.
Oh!
Well, that's the thing. It's your... From now on, you take over this podcast. This is yours. As I said, Hill I thought that Hill was going to push for the finish, and Hill's pressure was going to be a bit too much for Waterson. I thought it would go to the decision, but I thought that Hill would probably edge it for the judges. And then, as I said, my heart was telling me, Waterson, you love Waterson, she's great. Yeah, but let's go for head decision now, because in the past, I've always gone for the heart, and it's always gone against me. And the one bloody time, the one time I use my head, and I get that wrong as well. So, I wanted Waterson to win, and I said that I thought she could do it, and she did. But as I said, overall, my cool didn't go my way. But I thought it was a good fight between two decent strikers.
Oh,
the stats in the end show something. I think it was like 162 for Michelle to Hill's 146, I think. But however, when you break it down as well, I think significant strikes were nearly equal. So as I said, Waterson probably had more volume there, but Hill was a little bit more efficient. Mm-hmm. I don't think Hill was hard done by. I know that she says she felt she was, but for me, it was definitely a close one to call, and I think a split decision was fair. Sometimes you have to go for the finish, and you need to leave it all in there, and I don't know if that's what Hill did. I think the issue is when you leave it to these judges, they get it wrong a fair amount of the time, and especially against two strikers, you kind of got to ask, are they going to go for someone who gets the significant strikes in slash looks more efficient, or are they going to get the person who literally has the volume? And I think more of the time it's going volume at the moment. And as I said, Waterson had a higher volume, she had a higher output, she may not have been as efficient with those strikes, but she did land more. I think that's where the judges are scoring it. And as I said, unfortunately for Hill, I think she's fantastic, but it didn't go her way.
Yeah.
Big talking point is what is next. I mean, Angie, for me, knowing Angie, she'll fight next month. And I think likely she's still going for top 10 opponents. Angie's done some amazing work throughout 2020, and she's definitely like kind of solidified herself now as one of the talking points in the UFC. But Michelle's probably going to want a top 5 person now, and the issue with that is it seems that the top 5 is kind of wrapped up at the moment. The only real two fights she's got in them top five, without people who are already matched up, is either Joanna Jacek or Tatiana Suarez. Now, she's fought JJ before, like two fights ago, so I don't see that happening. And then Suarez as well is one of the people who, she's kind of been top three for a long time now, so she might actually be holding out for a title shot. We'll kind of have to see what happens there. And that's why, although Michelle might want a top five, I'm not really sure who she's going to get, apart from probably Suarez.
What about Carlos Barr again? I'd love to see that fight again, because that was like a close fight, wasn't it?
That's a decent shout, yeah. So, in my opinion, Waterson beat Esparza. I wholeheartedly stand by that I think Waterson beat Esparza. But then, I don't think Esparza wants that rematch. If I was Esparza, I wouldn't take it. I've beaten her once, then I don't need to beat her again. I need to push myself in the rankings now, so I don't know if Esparza takes that fight, but the UFC potentially try and push that forward. Another big thing, sorry, I forgot to note about the Hill fight as well. It's something like Waterson attempted 18 takedowns and landed just one. Jeez. So that also shows that against someone like Tatiana Suarez, who's so good on the ground, maybe Waterson's, maybe that fight does favour Suarez as well, someone who can just stuff your takedowns and maybe submit you. So I'm going to be quite interested to see what happens in the top five picture, but also what about a rising star instead? Waterson's in there and she's a veteran, she's so experienced. So what about someone like Amanda Ribas coming up there, who is genuinely looking phenomenal, and someone who kind of has a lot of eyes on her at the moment? Maybe Waterson takes that instead, someone who's likely top 10, and I think Ribas might be 11th, but either way, do you know what I mean? Like, Waterson might go, well, I don't really see a top five fight for me at the moment that's possible. But if I can beat a rising star, then I definitely kind of get a top three fight, because you're still kind of pushing, you're getting another win on your record, you're still pushing yourself in the rankings. It just might not mean that you're physically taking a step up. But then, as I said, you beat someone at Ribas, you can't really argue that she's then going to get probably a number one contender spot. So that might also be the future for Waterson. We'll have to see. But before we finish our recap of last week's cards, I want to talk about our main event, and the main event that we covered last week, it was Bellator MMA. Patchy Mix versus Juan Archuleta, and I called it. I found this really interesting look at. On Tapology, 61% of people thought that Mix would get the win, and most of those had chosen Mix to submit him. However, I thought this was a prime example of an experienced guy against the undefeated guy. That doesn't mean Mix isn't good, but Wan is so good. He's 25-2. You can't argue with that. And I think that someone like Mix, who's 13-1 now, kind of needed this test. Someone who is genuine at the top level, someone who's worthy of the title, to then go, okay, this is where I need to start changing my game, or kind of this is what went wrong. One thing I love about Mix is he came back and he said he's got no excuses about that. He said he's down, but he's not out, and he congratulated Wan.
Yeah.
Now, I would quite like to see Mix still fighting at this top level. I don't want to see Bellator give him maybe, say, 3 or 4 more fights against guys that he probably is going to beat, and then start pushing him back for the title. Maybe give him a guy like Josh Hill. Josh Hill's, what, 21-3 now? He just beat Eric Perez, the UFC veteran. Give me that fight. Because of these two guys, even if Mix then beat Hill, then Mix is likely going to argue that he wants another title shot. And then if Hill beats Mix, once more, how can you deny him that? And that's a top-level fight that's either a headliner or a co-main event against two seriously good guys. We'll just have to see what happens with Mix. And I'm glad that he said he's down, but he's not out, because, of course, you're not going to retire 13-1. But the point is, he didn't make an excuse for it. He just went out there, yep, I got beaten by the better guy that night, and he will be back. And now we will get Sergio Pettis versus Wan Archuleta, surely, in the future. Yeah. What a fight that's going to be. I mean, the UFC veteran Sergio Pettis, who everyone knows Sergio, versus Wan, who not everyone knows who Archuleta is. But as I said, you can't argue that 25-2 is a seriously top-level record, and especially in Bellator. Do you know what I mean? Like, this isn't just people who... I think, as I was saying the other day, he started his career in 2013, so in 7 years, he's had 28...
That's crazy.
Yeah, sorry, 27 fights. Like, he seriously keeps active, and he's fighting great guys, and if you're fighting at that level in Bellator, you can't deny that you're one of the best bantamweights in the world, and I cannot wait to see that fight happen. And Bellator have had some fun this week. Later on in the show, we're going to do our announcements, but guys, keep an eye out for Bellator MMA. I genuinely think this, and I'm going to stand by this, I think Bellator MMA could take the European scene in a few years. I really do. I think they are taking some top talent from around the world, and especially in Europe. And I think they're going to get some seriously interesting guys. I think, I'm not sure if Wan counts himself as American, but I'm pretty sure the whole idea with his name being the Spaniard, I'm sure that he prides himself on being Spanish. And as I said, they've got some other fantastic European stars that I cannot wait to see in the next kind of few years. But that is our recap of last weekend's fights complete. Let's move on to our preview of this weekend's card, where the UFC will be our sole focus. Why is that? Well, it's because we have an absolutely cracking card coming up, and we have 4 fights to get through. A big note here as well, I think it's a 6-fight main card, but we're not even going to be talking about Darren Stewart's fight or Mackenzie Dern's fight. That's how good this card is that Mackenzie Dern's fighting the card, Darren Stewart's got Kevin Holland. This is incredible, and we're not even going to break them down. But to kick it off, 4 fights from the main event, we have Ryan Superman Spann versus the Brazilian Enigma, Johnny Walker. What do you think about this fight, mate?
Johnny Walker's a different breed, man. Like, everyone wrote him off after Corey Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right? But I reckon he's going to come back, push back, and get a knockout in this fight.
Yep, I love the shout. So, I agree with you. People wrote Walker off. Now, I am one of the people who actually, before the Anderson fight, I had called some flaws in Walker's game. So, there's no... if you look up online, look at Walker's losses. There was always... He was always quite heavy at swinging, and in his losses, he got clipped, and he tries to just fight out of it, and he got knocked out, I think, in 2 of them. Genuinely, as I said, you could kind of tell that, yes, he's got killer instinct, but maybe he relies a bit too much on his power and doesn't use his brain that much. Now, as I said, I'd seen that before, so that's why I wasn't surprised against Anderson, and even against Krylov, like, there's a few times where he's hurt bad. So, having said all of that, I still like Johnny Walker a lot, and I think he offers some great fights. But Spann is on an 8-fight win streak, and he's fought decent guys like Antonio Nogueira, Devin Clark, and Sam Alvey. But now, what I love is he faces a completely new challenge. Walker's had a few setbacks recently, as we've just spoken about, but he still remains such an entertaining guy. And another thing that Walker might be eyeing up here is that he could go on a 3-fight losing streak, and you don't want that, because that's kind of risky to get cut. And I don't think the UFC will cut Walker for another few fights anyway. I think if he went on a 5-fight losing streak, maybe they will. 3 fights, I think he's still going to be around, but he is so, so, so explosive. And you could argue that Spann's last few fights, even his opponents, sorry, haven't been explosive fighters. Devin Clark isn't, Nogueira and Alvey, although a few years ago maybe, they are a bit slow. So it's a brand new test for Spann, and if I'm honest, I think Walker causes Spann some issues, as in the past, I think Spann's been nearly exposed quite a few times by getting just a little bit lax in the fight. But saying this, you then have Johnny Walker, who does the same thing. A guy who does just swing. So for me, I think it's a finish. Or the only other thing I can maybe see happening would be a very disappointing decision by Spann, who plays it safe. And I'm not saying plays it safe in terms of a smart way, but maybe Spann gets clipped early on but just doesn't get finished. And then Spann just literally wrestles him into the ground the whole fight because he knows that that's where he can probably win the fight. Almost gets a win because he's scared to throw with the guy. And that's what I mean, is it is smart to play it safe, especially against hard hitters. But I would be disappointed. I don't think it would be a great win for Spann. And for me, I'm actually going to go for the Johnny Walker finish. I think that he can get Spann out of there. I think that Spann is kind of being seen as this guy. As I said, 8-fight win streak, you can't deny that at all. But I don't think he's been tested against the right people. He's come off the Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series. I think they're kind of trying to use him as a bit of a poster boy for that. And in my opinion, I think they're going to lose him Saturday night. I think that Johnny's going to get a really good finish over him, an explosive finish again, and then Johnny Walker's back in the picture. If not, fair play to Spann. You're going to get a win over a very good guy who genuinely, like, how many people will tune in to watch Walker fight? You just want to see Walker fight. It's like Pereira as well. You just want to see them fight because of the entertainment factor. So if Spann get win over that, Spann gets a lot of eyes on him. People start really taking him seriously. I think he'd go to 19-5. That's solid as anything. That's the same record as Thiago Santos a few fights ago, so I'll take that as well. Good on you, mate, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens.
Johnny Walker has got a lot of proof to come in this fight. His mental state will be like, I have to finish this fight, because obviously, like I said, he's on a losing streak.
Yeah, so exactly.
He will
could go 3 fights, yeah. But exactly, that's what I think, is I think he's going to still go for an explosive finish. I think that's his style. That's what he's good at as well. And I think he can catch someone like Spann.
Yeah.
But let's move on to our third fight of the night. He's back. The 8-0 Khamzat Chimaev. Now, the biggest thing that I want to say is obviously fighting Gerald Meerschaert, and you cannot write Meerschaert off. But I do want to note, 8-0, and your debuts in the UFC are against John Phillips and Rhys McKee. They are no joke to make your debut against, and you literally dominated them throughout. That's why I can see why the eyes are on Chimaev. I can see why he's kind of getting double booked fights, because he's done it before. He set the record for a 10-day turnaround and dominated both the fighters, who weren't just easy wins at all. It's not like you're coming in against guys who've never been in the UFC, although, having said that, McKee hadn't. But McKee had made his name in cage warriors with his title. Like, McKee, as I said, was one of the biggest prospects in the sport as well. So to do that to two guys who are very, very experienced and still had a lot of eyes on them, fair play to you. But he does face a very experienced veteran in Gerald Meerschaert. And I think Meerschaert is a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, if I'm right. And all around, he's very good at grappling. He's a decent striker as well. I think he's got a kickboxing background. And I think he's going to put up a hard fight. However, I do think Khamzat is something else. A big talking point that you can approach before the fight, after the fight, any time, Damian Maia, because they seem to have double booked Chimaev for a fight again in like a month or so against Damian Maia. And I know a lot of people had an issue with this because they felt it was disrespectful towards Meerschaert, and I kind of agree. You know what I mean? You can't rule off someone like Meerschaert, because also, I would argue, Meerschaert's a harder fight. I genuinely think Maia is, yes, phenomenal with his jiu-jitsu, but take his fight against Ben Askren. I mean, they were literally just kind of standing and striking for ages, and it was almost embarrassing. The striking wasn't good. So someone like Chimaev, who, yes, is known for his grappling, but the size of him against someone like Maia, I think he will be able to piece him up as well. And then maybe that's kind of a moment that we get to see Chimaev striking, but not against kind of the person who, like, a top level striker. So I do think it was a bit disrespectful to Mershart, because arguably, what if Mershart wins this then? Then where does Mershart go? Because if Mershart gets the win, which is very, very possible, I think last weekend's card was something like 10 of the winners were all underdogs. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it would be a bit of a shame for Mershart to get the win, and then Chimaev still go on to fight Meyer, who's higher in the rankings, because then Mershart goes, well, where the fuck do I stand here then?
Exactly.
Like, I would be disappointed, but we'd have to see what happens there. Yeah. And as I said, I think, my opinion, I think Chimaev gets the win. I think he beats both Meyer and Mershart.
Really?
However, I will actually be backing Mershart. That's not. Yeah. It sounds like I hate Chimaev all the time. I really don't. I can't wait to see what he does in the sport. But I don't like favourable. I don't like it when people really favour someone and just push them, because you think, come on, someone like Mershart, whose record's like 32 and something, like, he's been in the sport for so long. Don't disrespect him like that. Like, I just think that Mershart's going to offer a good fight. I think if Chimaev goes in there and holds him down the entire fight and just demolishes him, fair play, that's what you're good at doing, mate. However, if Mershart can go in there and really start testing Chimaev, then, as I said, even if Chimaev gets the win but was tested hard throughout, you then go, well, is he ready for Meyer? As I said, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens there. What do you think?
I haven't really seen Chimaev that much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
How can you have seen him much?
Exactly,
two first round finishes, whatever it was, or a first round finish and a second round finish. Like, we haven't seen much of him, and he's only 8-0 in his professional career.
Exactly. So has he got a gas tank, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think that's what they tried to prove with the whole two fights in 10 days. I don't know if you can argue that, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, 10 fights in 2 days, but he didn't take any damage in them fights.
Exactly.
Give me 10 days to recover from a fight, and you likely will. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, anyone can probably recover in that time if you weren't hit, because your stamina's going to be there anyway.
Yeah.
Although, you do have people like Jimmy Manoa, who, and I think Gustafsson, but Manoa especially, raves about this guy. Manoa was saying that Chimaev is something else in the gym. So, if you get a guy like that backing you, I know they'll always say that anyway. They'll always say, oh, yeah, this guy's a killer. But I hope that it lives up to it, because he does look a great prospect for the sport. I just don't want to see him push too hard, where either he gets absolutely derailed or that he starts leapfrogging people who genuinely deserve to be where they are.
Yeah.
Well, we've got two more fights to get through, so let's get into them. We're on to our co-main event for the night, and it's my fight of the night. Yeah. I cannot wait for this. Nico Price versus Donald Cerrone. In my opinion, Nico Price is one of them guys you need in the sport. He will take any fight, and he doesn't always win, but they are all usually performance of the nights. He usually gets a solid 50k in his bank, because he just leaves everything in there. He lost his record's 14-4, and his losses are to Jeff Neal, Vicente Luque twice, and Abdul Razak Al-Hazan. Now, they are all guys who are known for their striking ability and their killer instincts. And not funny, 14-4, to lose to them guys and put on a decent fight in all of them, he's so under the radar for people. He's so, so, so good, and his striking's ridiculous, and in general, all around, he's so great to have in the sport. I genuinely mean that. I just thank you, Nico Price, for being who he is, because he will leave any fight in there. He'll put on such a great performance, and as I said, he'll take any fight. But then you've got the all-time veteran, the most wins in the UFC, Donald Cerrone. I mean, this guy is just, I've been asked a question before, if I had to be trained by any fighter in the past, Cerrone would be my guy. Cerrone's so good at striking, his grappling's great, and his wrestling's good as well. Everything about Cerrone, he's so solid all around, and he wants more, takes any fight. He's got the heart. He's been in the UFC since he was 13-3. So now he's 36-15. That's 35 bouts coming on to 36 bouts. That's crazy, and he's still got it, mate. I mean, I love that. What a fight this is against two genuinely amazing guys who will go for surely a finish. And both guys are known for doing that. I think it could go either way. I think Cerrone could play it smart, and he could get a unanimous decision victory, or he could just clip Price. I think he could just kind of utilize his counter-striking and then clip him. But if Price can be his usual explosive self, I think there's no doubt he could catch Donald. And I think although it might not be one clean knockout, I reckon if he clips Donald, say, against across the nose or anything like that, I think he can back Donald up and I think he can get the finish. The thing is, I don't want either guy to lose. But what I love about this as well is they both take it like absolute champs. If you see his last loss to Luque, literally he got up afterwards and he started like hugging Luque, laughing about it and stuff like that. Like, he will take a loss. Price takes the loss amazingly. I think he did the same against Jeff Neal. Once more, they both hurt each other. Neal got the finish, and then Price just laughed about it afterwards. Now, Cerrone's the same. Was it against Tony Ferguson when he blew his nose? He literally was like, oh, damn, I was stupid and that. What a fight this was. He just laughed and joked around. The same goes with Gaethje. He kind of said, oh, I love you, man, and stuff like that. Like, Cerrone just takes it like a champ also.
Yeah,
so that's what I love about this fight, is both guys, despite the fact that I don't want to see either of them lose, they both take it like champs. They're both going to put on a great performance, and I do think there's going to be a finish. I'm going to put my money on Price, just because, although I think Cerrone is so good all around, and in general kind of can definitely has that experience to catch Price out, I think that Price can hurt Cerrone, back him up, and then I think Price has that killer instinct to get the finish. What about yourself?
Something screaming up at me here. I'm thinking Donald Cerrone, submission, second round. I don't know why, but I'm thinking that.
You've called the way it's finished and the round? Ooh, that's a bold shout, my friend.
Oh.
Yeah, mate. Boy. I like the shout. I stand by that. This is another one of the fights that... it's not a set decision for me there. I'm not saying, oh, that's the only way it's going to happen, because I am so happy to see either of these guys win. I want to see either of these guys keep getting pushed for decent fights. And I don't want to see these guys leave the sport. Or if they leave the UFC, someone else has to snap them up, because they are both genuinely incredible.
Yeah.
The winner of this for me will get a great fight. Both I'd like to see face Mike Perry. I know Cerrone already has and he beat him, but I would love to see Price versus Perry. I think the issue is if Price obviously beats Cerrone, Price probably doesn't want to take a fight that's out of the rankings. And fair enough, like, you wouldn't. But as I said, the other way this might go down is, say Cerrone gets a win over Price and once more cements himself as the most wins in the UFC, the most fights in the UFC, etc. Cerrone might retire down the line in the UFC. I don't think another promotion would take him, because I don't think he'd join them. But... Then if Cerrone won, then that frees up Price versus Perry, which is definitely going to be a fight that might not be a co-main, but it's definitely going to be high up on a card, probably even a pay-per-view card. Now, equally, if somewhere down the line Price was cut, I would love to see any other promotion take him, because despite the fact that, as I said, he's had a few losses in the UFC, he leaves everything in there, he puts on fantastic fights all the time, and I'm not just saying this, I think he gives pretty much anyone in that welterweight division a hard fight, because he's so dangerous with his striking, and he will go for the finish. He will put everything in there, and as I said, I genuinely really rate this guy, just because of his attitude towards fighting and the fights that he puts on. But let's move on to our final fight of the night, our main event of the evening. Two former champions face off. Tyron Woodley versus Colby Covington. I love this fight. Likely it's going to be a decision, but there is so much on the line here. The reason I say that, this is a grudge match. These guys hate each other. You've got Colby's volume, something like 500 strikes against Robbie Lawler, but then you've got Woodley's power. Now, Woodley has now promised that he will let his hands go. But Woodley, mate, we've heard you say this before and you haven't done it. And I don't doubt that Woodley's power is unlike anyone else's. And I used to rave about Woodley. When everyone would say, oh, he's a boring champ and that, I used to say, yeah, but he still gets the job done. He'd get the job done against the people he needed to. Even, he always uses as an example, against Damian Maia, he stuffed something like 22 takedowns against the best grappler in the world at the time. You can't deny that. You can't say that he didn't do a good job, because he did everything he needs to do. But then in recent fights, he really has started to let himself down a bit, because he just doesn't seem like he's putting in that... He almost seems like he's switching off when he goes in the fight. He's just standing and he keeps getting backed up against the cage, and he doesn't look bothered, and that's my issue. It's not like he's looking like, shit, how do I get out of this? This guy's too good, but he just looks too calm. He looks like he doesn't know when to pull the trigger. He looks like he's getting backed up. The round will finish, and he kind of just shakes his shoulders. He goes to his corner, and he looks well chilled out. And you think, mate, don't be chilled out right now, because genuinely, this guy's demolishing you. You are meant to be the champion. Put something on here. Yeah. So I saw a post about who has more to lose. This was on Twitter, and I found it really interesting. People said that the pressure was on Woodley in this fight. I said, I think it was like 70% of voters all went against Woodley. And as I said, Woodley promising that his hands would let go. You had a guy like Colby versus Lawler. You had Lawler, who was known for knocking people out, and he couldn't catch Colby. And I think there was times in the fight that he could have, but maybe he was being a bit gun-shy. But will we see a repeat of that again? Will we see Woodley say, yeah, I promise I'll do that, Colby be able to back him up against the cage and then just beat him? The only other... So my prediction is going to be Colby unanimous decision. However, I will put out there that I do think Colby does hold his head quite high sometimes, and his hands quite low, and especially when he's throwing these volume strikes, which are quite light, really, because they are literally just to get your numbers up. I think he does expose his chin a bit. I don't know if that Woodley's going to rely on using his right hand, but I think he's quite... I think Colby's quite susceptible to a left hook, and I think that if Woodley can kind of back up a little bit and then catch him with a really strong punch, I think you might also see his jaw broken again, and I think that maybe he's out of the fight. It's a really, really interesting fight, so that's why I'm going to put that out there as well, is because I do see a few flaws in Colby's striking game. But equally, I'm going to put my money on Colby to win it, but I'm not ruling out that Woodley could let his hands go. What about yourself?
See, I'm a Colby fan, and I'll tell you why. Everyone hates him, right? No exceptions. Everyone hates him. But I bet you everyone's seen that video of how humble he was when he was talking to that kid.
My guy, you know what? Yeah, I know that. So I say the same thing. I don't hate Colby at all. Yeah. I'm one of the guys who doesn't hate Colby, because like Colby, like Ben Askren, like any other guy out there who people tend to not like...
Bringing entertainment in.
They're bringing entertainment. Yeah. Who goes in there and demands 200 grand a night? Ben Askren was demanding 300 grand a night, and he was getting the money. He got that money to be knocked out. I'd take that money. If offer me 300 grand, knock me out, that's fine. Genuinely, people need to realise how smart this game is. Yeah. Like, Conor kind of brought this in as the character to it now, and people are trying to copy that, and there's some people who fail at doing it, and there's some people who do it right. Everyone hates Colby. That's the idea. He knows that. He's not stupid. The same was with Askren. Other fighters hated Askren, and they were like, oh, I want to fight him. Askren's just sitting there laughing about it because he's getting money for it.
Exactly.
I think there's fans out there who are quite naive and think that this is all... Like, of course, they know they're being fake. That's the idea. We're not doing WWE, but they are bringing in fans, for sure. People are getting their eyes on this. And as you said, I've seen that video too, and he does seem such a nice guy. Yeah. The kid even asks him, like, why do you act like that in the cage then? And he goes, mate, I've got to do it. Whether that was set up or not, who knows, but overall, that is actually, as I said, a really nice moment to see, because Colby does seem like a decent guy, and as I said, if that's how you need to make your money in the game nowadays, then that's potentially how you need to make your money.
True.
As I said, I genuinely think Colby probably demands 250 grand a fight. I think the same for Askren. Be a dickhead all you want, because, mate, if you're going to be able to demand that in your UFC bouts, fair play to you.
Exactly.
I couldn't say that, and I mean this, who out there would go, if someone offered you 300 grand just to play up a little bit and act a bit of a dickhead, who wouldn't take that?
Exactly.
Like, it's a lot of money, and as I said, these guys are making money to do that, and then they are actually getting to fight and a lot of the time winning. Fair play to you. The big talking point as well from this fight is, what is next? Where does Leon and Jorge fit into this? Leon Edwards, Jorge Masvidal, where do they go from here? Usman versus Burns is in a few weeks, but who gets the title shot next? Whether Usman or Burns wins, I don't mind, but the point is, I want to see the winner of this get the title shot next. I think that if Burns beats Usman, I don't know if Usman has defended it enough times to say, yeah, I want an immediate rematch. And if Usman speaks Burns, Usman needs a new challenge. I think the winner of this fight gets that. I think Woodley's obviously, what, maybe one or two fights away from where he used to have the title. And then the same goes for, Colby. Colby has fought for the title before. It was a very close fight, but Usman was able to finish it. And then, for me, the winner of this should get the title shot. Because I also would love to see Edwards versus Jorge.
Yeah.
Main event any time of the week, anywhere. The guys have bad blood between each other. I think it would be a fantastic fight. However, another thing about that is I get that Edwards is on an 8-fight win streak. I rave about Edwards. I think he's brilliant. 8-fight win streak, whether it was 7 or 8. He's a Birmingham guy. He really does deserve to be at that top level. But I don't think he's fought now in 2 years. It's a year or two, I think. You can't say, oh, I need my title shot and not keep active. Unfortunately, these guys, Woodley and Colby, are keeping active here. And I think that's why they get the shot, because I don't think Edwards is doing enough at the moment to deserve that. And equally, Edwards, yes, has bad blood with Jorge. But does Jorge want that fight? Or does Jorge want to go defend his BMF belt against someone like Diaz? Because that's probably got more money in it. This is what I mean, is it's a very confusing picture at the moment, because there's so many deserving guys in there. It's just who gets it next. And equally as well, say Usman Burns, obviously in a few weeks, and then Chimaev gets his double win. Well, then Chimaev starts pushing himself, not in the title picture, but certainly maybe 6 months, 8 months down the line, he might start saying, I want a top five guy. So these other guys who are in the top five, but just kind of lurking about at the moment, get active, prove why you want that title shot. And exactly. Then, as I said, then we can start simplifying the picture a bit more. But to sign off our night, we have some lovely little announcements to go ahead with. Now, we have nothing UFC based, so don't be disappointed, because Bellator are back in town. And I mean that when I say this, they have so many fights coming on their European series. And this is why I gave a little warning earlier on the show, because do not switch off about these guys. Bellator have some fantastic fighters coming up, and genuinely are going to put on some amazing events in the next few weeks. We have Fabian Edwards, Leon Edwards' brother, versus Costello Van Steenis in Milan a week today, I think it is. No, of course it's not today. It's the 26th. So that's Fabian's first ever main event, and them two guys are so good. I think the combined record must be something like 21-2. They are great fighters and definitely prospects of the sport. It's going to be a great fight to watch. And as I said, he cemented himself as his first main event and on a great card coming back to it. Now, the week after that, on the 3rd of October, you have Cal Elenor versus James Gallagher. Fourth time lucky.
Fingers crossed.
I'm sure that I now think there's no doubt this fight will happen.
Yeah.
I've been speaking to Cal over the last few weeks. Me and Cal speak quite regularly. He will probably be on the show either next week or whenever we can get him on. But he seems in very good physical condition at the moment. He's already started his weight cut a few weeks back. I think Cal's going to make the weight. I think Cal's going to be fine for it. So we'll just have to see what happens in James's side of things. But I think we are going to finally get this fight. Fourth time lucky, fourth time's a charm. Not even a line, but that's what we're going to go with. Genuinely, I cannot wait for that fight. I think that's going to push two really decent bantamweights in the UK/Ireland scene. Now, the biggest thing we have to talk about, their biggest announcement, France is going to receive its first ever MMA event, legal MMA event, where it's going to make history. October the 10th, Chaet Kongo versus Tim Johnson and MVP versus Ross Houston. Mate, this is brilliant. As I said, this year in 2020, I think it was in January, France legalized MMA and legalized its production. So Bellator have swept in there after the coronavirus period, and they have got the first event. They will cement themselves in history, and what an event they have for it. Kongo Johnson's a great fight because they're both veterans, but MVP Houston, I mean, I'm shocked this wasn't the main event, because this is such a risky fight to play for both guys and for Scott Coker. These are two of Scott Coker's biggest UK fighters and biggest prospects. Houston's undefeated, MVP 17-1 or something. Like, these two guys, either way, the loser of this is going to be quite disappointed. And what a fight it is. Houston's a former champion at Cage Warriors, and genuinely looks so, so good. MVP, though, is a guy that just, how it's hard to look good against MVP. It really is. It's both of them are phenomenal fighters, and as I said, I don't know which way it goes. It's going to be a risky fight. However, over the next few weeks, we're going to be speaking to Houston as well. We'll probably get him on the show. Me and Ross have been speaking recently, so hopefully that's something that we can get organised for the next few weeks, because we don't want to miss that at all. That's going to be absolutely incredible. Now, unless you want to shine anything on these last three fights that we've announced, the one other thing that I did want to say is they've also put Douglas Lima versus Gegard Mousasi for the middleweight title. Lima's going to go for his second title. I really don't know which way this fight goes, because about two years ago, Gegard Mousasi was the guy that I spoke about to everyone. I love that man in the sport. He's, 46-6-2 or something like that? Like, his record, he's so, so experienced. He's fought some of the top guys. Fun fact, do you know he's fought Mark Hunt?
Really?
Yeah. Like, he's insane. Oh. He's so good. I think he beat Mark Hunt as well. I'm sure he did. Like, that's mental to think that Lima fought a welterweight, and then Mousasi's fought guys at heavyweight. Like, this fight's going to be insane. And as I said, it goes for a second title, or Mousasi gets a belt. Obviously, Mousasi lost it to Lovato Jr., and I hope that Lovato... I think Lovato has retired from mixed martial arts, all in all, but he is still going to do jiu-jitsu. Mousasi can lead that division. I think he's phenomenal, but if Lima can get a second belt under him once more, you start cementing yourself as one of the best guys in the world.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we've got them announcements out of the way. As I said, four Bellator announcements there that are genuinely going to be amazing fights. And I think the talent that they have there is without a doubt UFC worthy. So, UFC, you've got some competition here, because my eyes might be swayed. But that is all we have time for this week. I want to thank you guys for tuning into the Ultimate MMA podcast, and make sure to like, share and subscribe to us. And be sure to tune in next week, where we'll recap the results of this weekend's card, and we'll preview the next card, which takes place on the 27th of September. Cool. It's finally here. UFC 253, Adesanya versus Costa, Reyes versus Blachowicz. Two title fights in one night. I cannot wait. Another massive thing to note for that week, it's the Cage Warriors trilogy. We have, I think, maybe four or five title fights throughout that weekend. It's going to be absolutely insane. And if you've got UFC Fight Pass, please tune into it for that week, because from the Friday, maybe on Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we're going to have cards the whole time, and they're going to be top level. Imagine this, you're in the UK, you watch Cage Warriors on the Saturday night, which has some incredible fights on it, up till 11 p.m. when they stop and the UFC comes on.
Perfect.
That is just, that is the UK's dream at the moment. Any UK MMA fan, get UFC Fight Pass, even if it's only for a month, because you're going to get your money out of it. It's going to be absolutely incredible. I want to say a massive thank you, Sean, for joining in this week. You make it great, as always. It's such a good laugh. I enjoy doing it. But anyone out there listening, make sure to give us any feedback for the podcast and let us know which guests you'd like me, Sean, and Liam to speak to over the next few weeks. As I said, I'm fairly confident we're going to have Cal on the show, and we're going to have Ross Houston. So thank you, guys, and take care.